This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
This is your show for exploring sex, sexuality and self. My name is Andrew the Apprentice, and also here is...
James Finlay.
There we go. And now tonight we are in light of the announcement during the week that Poof Doof here in Melbourne, what's the tagline, a gay club for homos or something which is really the last big... dance party venue, really, here in Melbourne for the community, will be banning ICE and GHB from the venues. And,
which, you know, they're already banned, let's be honest.
Yeah, they're already banned, of course. But there has been a changing drug culture. And, you know, to be honest, we should recognise that, that drugs have been and continue to be part of our community. But so we are recognising that. Now, I was looking at the Gay Periodic Survey from 2014. And it has got historical data there. And in 2010, ecstasy, 30% of all gay men in the survey had taken ecstasy in the 6 months prior to the survey. Now,
2010. Oh, I guess that's 14 years ago.
2010, no, five years ago. Five surveys ago.
Yep.
So 5 years ago. In 2014, that had dropped to 18%.
Wow.
So from 30% to 18%. Crystal meth, ICE, had gone from 8% to just over 10%. And speed has dropped a bit from 16% to 12%. ICE in HIV positive men has gone from 20% to 24%, while ecstasy has fallen. That's a huge fall there. Amongst HIV-positive men, ecstasy has gone from 40% to 17%, about half. And for HIV-negative men, 30% to 20%. So there's certainly been a change in the essentially decreasing use of ecstasy and some increase in the use of meth, ICE.
And we'd love to hear what your opinions are on this. What do you think is happening? What have you seen in yourself? Have you changed your partying behaviour? 0427 joy949 or on air at joy.org.au. We'd love to hear from you. Over the next hour, we'll be chatting to party promoters
and DJs from Melbourne here about what they've been experiencing, what they've seen has been the changing behaviours of Melbourne's queer community.
There's been quite a mixed response to Poof Doof's stance.
Yes.
From very positive to...
very negative.
Negative. And we'd love to hear what your opinions are on this. 0427 joy 949 or on air at joy.org.au.
Hide and seek.
James Finlay and Andrew the Apprentice with you on Hide and Seek, your show for exploring sex, sexuality and self. And this week, as we were saying, Poof Doof has put their foot down,
yes,
to GHB and methamphetamine, and said no, if you're caught doing it here, life ban. Get out.
So we're talking, you're all about drugs in clubs tonight. And, I mean, we recognise, obviously, and we'll give you some information later on about some of the services you can access if you wish to, but or need to. But we are talking, we recognise that drugs are part of our community.
Mm-hmm.
And part of the dance and club scene, and one of the biggest party promoters for our community here in Melbourne is Mr. Dean Murphy. Good evening, Dean.
Evening, boys. How are you?
Very good. Well. Thank you for being awake at this time of hour. We know that you do breakfast tomorrow morning.
Well, I wasn't. I was an hour and a half, but I remembered that I had to do the interview, so quickly up. Back into shape.
Good work. Now, you've been doing parties now for quite a while.
Been doing parties for 10 years.
Yeah. What's have you seen a big change in the way that dance parties have...
Oh, it's a huge change with... Look, I saw when crystal meth first hit the clubs. Mm. I still remember the first party that would hit really big time, and it just changed the dynamics completely. It was a very big shift, really quick. So the numbers that we were getting with dance parties pre meth were actually, you know, it was quite substantial, the loss that we had after, and I think all the clubs found it.
Like, yeah.
All of a sudden, people just weren't going out. There was another thing too. There was another thing that was introduced too at the same time, which is Grindr. So it kind of both went hand in hand, and you know, boys just weren't going out anymore. They didn't need to go and meet people at clubs. They were like, you know, they were meeting people online. So that was the new wave of whatever. Plus the crystal meth. All of a sudden, you know, I saw it quite a bit, and I saw how quick people were getting hooked on meth. And I saw the changes in the scene as far as, like, all of a sudden it was just different. There was I can't even explain it, like a heaviness just came over. So it was like all of a sudden there was a very, especially in Sydney, when I used to go to Sydney when it first really hit big time. And it was just, it was such a change. And what I used to see as Mardi Gras being bright and shiny and big and whatever was kind of like the scene took this darker tone, if you like.
Mm-hmm. I guess that may have something to do with the effect or the different effects that that crystal does to people as opposed to some of the party drugs that were taken, you know, in the past.
Yeah, it's one of those things with, it is a fairly, and this is what I don't think there's enough, it's probably not enough education on it.
Yeah.
But it is a really super addictive drug, whereas, you know, other drugs you can sort of have and may not have that ability to get addicted to it. With meth, it controls that, but it actually controls, you don't have a choice whether you're going to get addicted to it.
Right.
Like, it will grab you. So, you know, that's what I saw. I've seen a lot of people, you know, get so hooked on meth that they've lost everything.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen everything. In the last 10 years, there's nothing I haven't seen on meth. You know, and I saw what Puffield put out as far as a message yesterday. And look, the message, I think there was two things. One of them is the way it was delivered, I wasn't, it was very full on.
Mm-hmm.
If you've read, I don't know whether you guys have read it, but for your listeners, if you go onto Poofdoof's site and look at it, it was pretty full on the way it was delivered.
Mm.
I think the message, they're trying to get the message across that, you know, it is a, with G, you know, especially with G, it's hard if you're a promoter or you run a club or whatever and you're dealing with overdoses on top of everything else you've got to do with your work. They're just saying they don't want their staff exposed to it anymore. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and look, I've dealt with so many G overdoses at parties, at clubs, running stuff in Sydney.
Yeah.
You know, it really does detract from what you're actually trying to do, which is put on good music and shows and entertain it, because you spend half your time trying to babysit these people through, you know, when they're blowing out on G.
And I guess if that happens in the middle of, like, a dance floor or somewhere, it's really killing a vibe as well.
Well, it's the other thing, too, is it actually killed a lot of, you know, G is in Sydney particularly, like, a lot of the clubs weren't making any money anymore. Because they, you know, people would go and they'd be doing G, they weren't drinking, you know, and so it was that whole, there was no turnover over the bars and all that kind of stuff. Despite that, it was actually, we had a party, one of the first ones I ran in Sydney, and we had 35 people blow out on G.
Good Lord.
So we had a medic room. We'd have a medic room with medics, like, and we do every party, we have medics, and... But
not a full emergency room for it.
A whole room of people that we were actually, you know, they were just looking a little bit sideways. So we'd have to sit them down, give them water, look after them. Because how can you ring 35 ambulances if they blow out? It's like, it's ridiculous. So that's from a promoter point of view, it was actually it's hard. You know, it's like you can't stop people from doing stuff, but you just pray that people actually do it. If they're going to do it, they respect the rules that go with that. Mm-hmm.
And so, I suppose the other factor for you as a promoter is that if that is happening, then the next time you go and try and organise a party, then the law enforcement is going to be taking a dim view of your party.
Well, we try to do everything we can because, you know, I always hire paramedic for the party. I always, you know, always let the police know that we're actually running an event in a certain venue or whatever it is.
Yeah.
But it's sort of, it's a black mark across the venue's name. If the ambulance is called, like if they call four ambulances in a night, they can close you down.
Oof.
Right? So for someone who's trying to, who's got, you know, staff and running venues and all that kind of stuff, for them to actually have their, to have their venue closed down because people have just been careless and blown out on G is ridiculous.
Dean Murphy, we know you've got breakfast tomorrow morning.
Okay.
Here on Joy 94.9.
Yes.
So we won't keep you long, so...
No, that's okay. Look, you know what? I think it's a really good thing you guys are talking about. I think it needs to be talked about more because you're not going to stop people doing it. I mean, that message that Poof sent out, that's great. It's not going to stop people doing G or doing meth, but I think people, what they're asking is for people to be really discreet about the fact that they do it and they don't do it inside their club, you know? And, I mean, I kind of get that. It's not going to stop it, but it's, you know, might put the message out, you know, and make people think of it.
Yeah, I think it's definitely raised the topic,
yeah.
And people are now talking about it certainly more than they were a week ago, I think.
Mm.
As a promoter, what do you think is something like? Are you going to take something like this into the way that you're promoting your parties?
I just think with what I do, and I've seen we do our best to try and make sure that we've covered all our bases in case the incidents like that happen.
Yeah.
And you know, I just find it really hard. It's really difficult to start. Once you start dictating, for me, I go, okay, but if you're going to put the hard word on G and meth, then all of a sudden a lot of people are going to say, well, what about coke? What about pills? What about this? What about that?
What about alcohol?
What about alcohol, which is one of the biggest things, if you really want to go down that road, one of the biggest problems I've seen over 10 years is alcohol-related incidents.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's kind of like, well, yeah, I get what you're doing with the G and the crystal. It makes perfect sense if that's the way you want to go. But, you know, there was a lot of people, the backlash I saw was, the people saying, but you're letting this person do this and this and whatever, and what about alcohol? And, you know, it seems to be a debate that hasn't taken place and going, how do we make sure... I think it's about education rather than actually just banning people from life or stuff because they might not do it in the club, but they're going to do it in the car park. And so now what the risk they run is, do people do more stuff in the car park before they walk in the door of the venue?
And if they're doing it in the car park, then do they... OD in the car park and collapse there without necessarily anyone around.
Mm. Yeah, and this is, that's the thing. I think it comes back to, and I've always said this about drugs with parties and whatever, it comes back to education.
Mm.
And I think if you educate people enough on the risk and the dangers and whatever, like I'm amazed at how many of the younger ones coming to parties and whatever will do G and don't understand about, don't do G and alcohol. Because there's a chemical in both, and when they react with each other, it causes you to blow out. But how many of them don't understand that? So to me, it's like if you educate people enough, then you probably have less likely chance of things happening. But just to ban people from whatever, that's what I would hate to see people blown out in car parks and then all of a sudden overdosing in the car.
And I guess when you're banning people, you're cutting off that audience of people who really do need the educating.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's, I think that's it. I think, look, I'd like to see Poof to have followed up with education sort of things. Like if they put out flyers on, here's the risk you take if you do A, B and C with G or whatever it is, that would be great. You know, just to sort of balance things out a little bit.
Mm. Dean Murphy, thank you so much for joining us this evening.
Thank you very much.
And if anyone wants to hear more of Dean, you can every Friday with his sister.
Oh, thanks. Well, listen, when you're in bed tomorrow morning, it's 7 a.m. I'm going to call you two.
I'll be up.
I'll be up too. Don't worry.
Payback is beautiful.
Dean, thank you so much.
Go back to bed.
No worries.
Good night. Have a good sleep.
Yeah, bye. Joy
94.9. You are on Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9. This is your program for exploring sex, sexuality and self. Tonight we are talking drugs in clubs, the changing scene here in Melbourne and right across Australia, really. And we've just been having a chat to party promoter Dean Murphy. Now, joining us on the line are a couple of men who know the party scene here in Melbourne. Mike Evans is one of them, and also Salvador Darling. Good evening, gentlemen.
Good evening, James and Andrew. How are you going?
Good evening. Hello.
Hello.
Listeners and yourself.
Thanks for joining us so late.
I didn't realize we were having a three-way conversation.
We're having a...
It's kind of kinky, isn't it?
It's only Thursday, but anyway.
Hey, it's the beginning of the weekend, and it's a four-way, so...
It is.
Oh, goodness,
oh my
go.
God, I haven't done a four-way before. And I'm an old clubbing girl.
What's wrong with you?
True.
So, Mike, you just said you were an old clubbing girl. What was the scene like before meth?
Oh, look, I've got to agree with what Dean had said, that, you know, we do need an education program or some sort of system in place for this particular drug. I mean, it has changed the community. It's changing behaviours, it's changing attitudes, and just the general community in general. I remember, you know, years ago as a club DJ back in Adelaide, we survived things like, you know, you'd stick a little piece of cardboard under your tongue and 20 minutes later on the dance floor, you're acid housing all over the place to, you know, doctor in the house and everything else. And then you see the emergence of, you know, ecstasy and the behaviours that happened there, and everyone was all lovey-dovey and really enjoying the moment. This particular drug comes along and it's so destructive. It changes attitudes. It brings out aggression in people. And it's something rather that... You can't put the reliance on the venues. They can only serve alcohol and do their job and cut you off at the bar if you're too drunk. They've got no way of actually monitoring how much of the drugs you're taking. And something like ICE or GBH, where, yeah, we are seeing blowouts and people overdosing in clubs, and it's not something rather we saw when we had ecstasy and trips and, you know, that sort of thing.
Well, I think I have an idea of why people have moved on to that, but why do you think people have moved? Is it just a drug phase, like a life cycle that happens, or...?
Look, we've seen changes in the community, let's say, for example, just in the last 30 years. We've seen the music styles change, we've seen fashions change, we've seen behaviours change. You know, we've gone through different periods of drugs. I mean, all the way along, there's always been coke or speed for those who can't afford coke. That's never been so destructive and changing in attitudes and behaviours that this has done. And, you know, we've gone through and we've survived trips, we've survived ecstasy. These drugs have had an effect on people's behaviour socially and on the dance floor, but never to the point of being so aggressive, so violent, so abusive, and the ability to knock somebody out so quickly where there's nothing you can do but send them to hospital.
Now, Salvador, you're currently DJing around town.
Correct.
What do you see on the dance floor now at the current day, like last weekend or the weekend before? What sort of stuff was happening on the dance floor that you think is linked to meth or GHB?
I've noticed behavioural changes. The hands in the air, you know, freedom, euphoria kind of... dance floor, wild abandonment, those things that you would go for, the coming together of different people, uniting, all of those really amazing, great feelings aren't something that have really displayed how they used to. Now, I'm actually kind of new school, and I've noticed this in my lifetime, so I feel like this is something that's only really happening now.
Is it difficult to, as a DJ, DJ to that change of mood?
Absolutely.
You both can.
Thanks for butting in, Mike. You're 100% correct. It is there is a totally different vibe, for sure.
So, Mike, explain how you DJ to the mood.
Look, look, yeah, it's one, it's the music itself. I mean, we've gone through different eras of music, and now, how do you explain it? I mean, there's a vibe we went through with Ecstasy where it was such a loving environment in the club scene. I guess not only because we were a bit more of a tighter gay community, and there was a lot more of a groupish sort of thing with, you know, everybody knew everybody in the club, and Ecstasy gave you more of a euphoria, and it, people were spending all the time touching the carpet, touching the upholstery, touching each other. I mean, it was that kind of drug.
And there was a lot more eye contact.
Yes, and
there
was interaction.
There is a very paranoid kind of, you know, twitchy, you know, situation surrounding ice and... And
you see a different level with GBH or ICE when they knock themselves out, or on ICE, you know, there's nothing worse for a DJ than some off their chops twink coming up to the DJ box, chewing their face off to request more gaga. And it's like, crying out loud.
No, there is nothing worse than a messed out gaga requester.
But I mean, you see it in their face and you see the desperation, and they don't see it. I mean, for God's sakes, look in the mirror and look at yourself. Mm. You're off your bloody head. Everyone can see it. You're a danger to yourself and the people around you, and your aggression is rubbing off on not just the staff and the other patrons. The venues themselves have got not only a business to run, they've got a protection level to adhere to, and you can't monitor that with things like ICE and GBH.
We're speaking with Mike Evans and Salvador Darling. How do we put you guys? Party queens.
Party queens.
Party queens.
You can join in the conversation as
I'll
well.
I'll take it.
0427 JOY949 or onair@joy.org.au.
And I just want to say, good on Pufdorf for doing this. I mean, look, at the moment, we're not getting the right results from authorities and police. They're not educating. They're not putting this thing to bed and actually doing something about it. Someone like Pufdorf and other venues needs to stand up and say, enough.
Let's talk about that now. There's been a lot of mixed messages, mixed emotion from people in the community about the way that Pufdorf has raised this. Mike, we'll start with you. What do you think is the right way that has, you know, to go about this in the clubbing scene as a clubber?
Look, as a club. I believe that as a clubber and as a club as well, we need an education system. We need a way to educate these people on the repercussions of what's going to happen. For a venue to straight out ban people the way that Pufdorf is doing, look, I can't see them doing that to every single person that comes in. I think this is them making a stand that they won't tolerate it and they will take a hard line on it.
I think the main thing here also is the role that the gay venue plays within the gay community, especially to the young people. This is where they're finding their information about what it's like to be gay, and if it is a norm, if it is considered kind of normal to do these drugs, they will just...
they'll do it.
They will do it. And I think if they are seeing all these things on social media and seeing that it is wrong and that it is bad, it, you know, might help them to make better decisions.
And look, there's a time and a place for everything. And Pufdorf nor Chasers are going out there saying, don't do this, and being, you know, the big bad party police. They're simply saying, don't do this in our club.
Yep.
And they've got every right to do that, and I support them.
And I think most of this is actually more sending a message rather than action, to be honest, because how easy is it going to be to find someone doing crystal meth or G in a club?
Look, people are going to have their eyes open now, aren't they?
Yeah, right.
And it's also going to be seen as being something that's just not socially acceptable. For God's sake, grow up, roll a joint and watch a movie.
And that's where I was about to go. Peer pressure is going to play a big part of the crowd that goes to these venues, isn't it? Because they're not going to want their mates to
have a lifetime ban.
They're going to see people like Salvador Darling or some good community leaders out there who are also standing by this and are, you know, actions speak louder than words. And when they see these people as good role models or leaders or DJs or drag queens or dancers or performers in the community who are taking a stand and not doing this, it'll be a little bit embarrassing if they are doing it, won't it?
Yeah. And it's really, as we're saying, I suppose, it's a grassroots reaction in many ways that we're seeing here, in that we've seen the mainstream media, in particular The Age here in Melbourne, having a war on meth, essentially.
And they've all jumped on board this Pufdorf campaign too. I mean, it's been in every paper, it's been on every social platform and media, and it's working.
Yeah, it was heard on a national radio station yesterday.
Right.
Brilliant.
Yeah, it's certainly making waves.
Making its way to Canada and America and all sorts of places.
Well, you never know. It might be a wave of starting and something.
Yeah.
You're with James Finlay and Andrew the Apprentice on Hide and Seek, Salvador Darling and Mike Evans, self-renowned scene queens.
Yes.
with us. And we are talking clubbing
and drugging.
And drugging.
We are. We recognise that... drugs are part of the community. Mm. They have been for many, many, many years. Now, don't forget, Directline is a confidential drug and alcohol cancelling and referral service, directline.org.au, or the Victorian AIDS Council also run alcohol and other drug services, and you can find out more at vac.org.au. We are talking to Mike Evans and Salvador Darling.
Yes, hello.
I like his name better than mine. Darling. I should be Mike Sweetie.
Whatever you want, babe.
Now it's we're talking about essentially the Pufdorf ban on G and ice, and let's look forward in 12 months' time. Is it a case, do you think, that there is a potential risk here that by doing this, this club will just shift the meth and G users to another location?
Well, it's going to be hard with this whole Scantech system for them to continue to take these drugs into venues. Now, I've got to say, I was a little bit concerned when I first heard about this because it gets recorded on a computer, as you've probably heard. What's to stop some bitchy queen at the front door from putting me on the hit list because he didn't like what I was wearing or because I gave him attitude at the bar once or whatever? I was a bit concerned as to how this could be abused, but the venue owner themselves and the licensee is the only one with a PIN number that can actually put you on this ban list. And if these other venues are going to abide by it, I mean, keep in mind, when you turn up at a club and they scan your ID and you come up flagged for, you know, inappropriate behaviour, it's up to the venue whether they let them in or not. Mm. You've got to ascertain whether this behaviour was bad, whether it was drug-related, whatever.
Okay.
If all these venues start teaming up together and stick to a policy where they won't, they won't allow ICE and GBH in the venue, I think we will actually change the culture of clubbing and let that be left at home.
It's the culture that will be shifted,
yeah.
I'm sure.
And Salvador, like, do you know that if whether or not there's going to be an education campaign that as Dean Murphy was talking about before, his opinion was that it needed to the ban needed to go alongside an education campaign.
Right, I think you raise a very there. This is simply just about trying to shift the culture. And I'm sure as a result of starting this conversation, things like educational programs will now be something offered to work with it. I think it was just a starting point, the ban itself.
Yep.
And, you know, I think it can only good can come of it. I think education is going to be key to helping the people who are using these drugs, helping them, you know, to get the right information, to make the right choices. And, you know, the ban is just the start.
Now, I'm an outer suburban boy now, and it's been a while since I went to any of these clubs.
What was the last club you went to,
Mark?
Mike, let's take him out.
I think you need to take him out, definitely.
Last time would have been the Market.
Right.
It's been closed for a while.
Yeah, it's been closed for a while. That's how long it's been. Anyway.
Did you ever see the drug problem there at the Market?
Probably not in that way, no.
And I've got to tell you as well that the Market did have the same sort of problems that we're going through now.
Yeah.
But they, you know, as much as they did everything they could to protect their patrons and to overcome this situation, there's been no help from authorities or police to combat it. And it's still going now.
What did Market do?
The Market, there were several times where back a house behind the DJ console, in fact, where the dressing room was, that there would be throughout the night people that were in there trying to recover and they were trying to snap them out of these drug crazes they were in without having to call the ambulance. And sure enough, an ambulance would have to pull up in the back lane there, and if they were needing to be taken off to hospital, so be it. But there was constantly the busies and staff assisting people who had taken too much G or whatever and putting them back there in the dressing room, letting them lie down, feeding them with water, trying to keep them calm, trying to bring them back to reality. It was an ongoing problem.
So if we were to be implementing an education program, how, as clubbers, where do you get your information and how do you think would be best messaging? What would be the best messaging to other clubbers, do you think?
I think that from the club's point of view, standing by this sort of thing that Pufdorf has done and other venues I'm sure will soon follow, and they'll get harder on drugs and focus more on the fact that you're going to a club to see a show, dance to great music and have a few drinks and hopefully pick up a shag. You know, I think that they'll start eliminating this whole culture that ICE and GBH is acceptable. And I think that we also need to have a community policy from a health body, and also working with authorities and police to educate them that taking these drugs, these are the repercussions. You know, I think we saw a small campaign on television not that long ago where it showed your average businessman who's an ICE user going down the gurgler, or a domestic housewife who's, you know, using ICE or abusing ICE, going down the gurgler. We need more of this education throughout our clubs, you know, on a grassroots level, that has toilet, you know, pictures and posters. It has bar flyers. It has these things on the venue walls and throughout our clubs.
And also, I'm assuming a lot of these groups, organised like businesses, would have email groups and all that sort of stuff that could be used as a channel to market.
Absolutely. Absolutely. There's ways we could educate them.
Yeah, I feel most people, you know, generally we get a lot of information from their peers and other people at the club, and I think it's about arming them with information from all of these sources so they could discuss it.
And look after your friends. When you're going out clubbing, if you think they're going to do something stupid or take drugs, get them off it, get them a drink or something rather, and match them up with a hot boy on the dance floor. It's got to be other
Mike's
ways.
Mike's solution to everything.
Yes, Mike's solution to everything. Indeed. It's just create a diversion.
I can find him at Willie.
Stuck on this.
Perfect.
Oh, dear.
I forgot where I was going now. Now, do you... So I just got completely distracted. You know what? Your diversion worked.
Yes.
I can't think of anything else now. I've actually lost it.
Okay.
I can't even think.
No, okay.
I was going to go with the fact that there's been research that is suggesting that the people who are taking these drugs are not identifying themselves as drug users. From what you've seen of people in the clubs, is that what people are thinking?
Oh, look, a gambler will also not identify that they've got a problem, and an alcoholic will also not identify they've got a problem. I mean, this is an addiction where people are in denial. They don't want to admit they have a problem because they don't see it as a problem. It's up to us, and it's up to venues, and it's up to the gay community to show them they do have a problem, and there's help out there for that problem. They have a problem, it's not socially acceptable, and they need to get help with that problem. Sorry, that's my bit.
Sorry, what was the question?
are people who are using ICE and G not identifying themselves as drug users?
Absolutely, they're not. The amount of times I've heard somebody say, oh, it doesn't affect me, or, you know.
It's just every weekend.
You know, things of that nature, and you look at them and you go, honey, like, you are.
And that's it. I mean, if they think, I'm only a recreational user, well, how often do you recreate? Every night?
Well, yeah. I think from what I've heard, it can start as every month, and then it soon turns to every weekend, and then it soon turns to every Thursday on the weekend, and then it soon turns to every single night.
Exactly. And think about how many more Southern Comfort and Cokes you can order over the bar with the money you're saving.
That's another... Think about it, guys.
Now, okay. Okay, we don't condone that either.
No.
No, I'm saying, though, that if they weren't spending that much money and they weren't using it as often as they were, they could put more money back over the bar of our venues, and these venues can survive and keep employing people.
Well, yeah.
Yes.
That is true. I'm... Yeah, that's a pretty good point.
Hide and seek. Joy 94.9.
You are on Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9. James and Andrew with you, with some scene queens, Mike and Salvador joining us. We've been talking about drugs in clubs, and now Mike and Salvador, we're rapidly running out of time.
We are. It's getting late, and I'm not normally out of bed this late.
On a weeknight.
On a weeknight.
Night ending in a while, yes.
So just a final message. So in summary, you're both saying that this is a good thing, that because it assists in that grassroots community level campaigning to ensure that our community remains safe.
And partied responsibly.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic.
Starting great, the conversation, okay. The ball is rolling, and let's go for it.
Yeah, well done to Poof Doof and to other venues that follow this, and I think it's only going to be for the best.
All right. Well, Salvador, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
And Mike, thank you for joining us as well.
Thank you so much for having me as well.
Thank you, guys.
You're on Hide and Seek, James Finlay and Andrew the Apprentice with you, and we're just about at the end of the program.
That's right. Now, we've, of course, have been talking about drugs in clubs. Now, just having a look around, directline.org.au looks like a great website. It provides confidential counselling and referral here in Victoria for alcohol and drugs. Now, I was just having a look. It's got a are you concerned about your alcohol or drug use? There's a self-assessment tool there.
Yeah.
So you can go on there. It takes you a little bit. You go through a series of questions, and you fairly quickly can just go through, assess your own habits at the moment, and see what you where you're scoring, and then that'll provide you some advice for what you should be doing.
Mm. But yeah, it's been big news this week.
It's
been making news not only just across the country but across the world, from what we've heard.
Yes, exactly.
And look, it is a problem that needs to be addressed. And as we said, drug use has been in the queer community for as long as we can remember.
Yes.
And look, it is a problem.
Yep.
And we, you know, don't condone the use of drugs, but we know that it exists,
yeah.
And it's something that we should be discussing.
Yes, exactly.
More regularly.
Exactly. Now, and as we know, the VAC, Victorian AIDS Council, recently were commissioned to run the first ever queer alcohol and drug service. That's mm-hmm. now up and running. They provide individual counselling, care and recovery coordination, and therapeutic groups, including Rewired, which Rewired is a 6-week program for men, helping you to learn skills and strategies to change your meth use and to better manage your broader health. So if you want more information about Rewired or any of the other alcohol and drug services at VAC, then just get in contact with VAC, vac.org.au, or you can call them tomorrow morning. Big, massive thank you to Dean Murphy, Mike Evans, and Salvador Darling, all who stayed up very late for us tonight because they all seem to be morning people.
Mm. Yeah, well, that's right.
Apart from on the weekends.
If you or someone you care about has a problem with drugs or alcohol, call Directline on 1-800-888-236. Directline provide a professional counselling, referral and information service 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Directline is free, anonymous and confidential. Directline. Call 1-800-888-236.
You can find more Joycast and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.